Hey, this is Jeff LaSawyer with Voodoo Moonshine, and you're listening to the Power Rock Podcast with Jim Madonna. Crank it up.
Everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I would like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream, whether it be rock,
metal,
heavy metal, speed metal, contemporary, melodic rock. Friends, we got it all. And today, it's no different, because I have on the line founder, singer, songwriter, and guitarist, Mr. Jeff LaSorrell of Voodoo Moonshine. Jeff, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. How you doing, man?
Jeff, I'm doing great, man. And Jeff, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for accepting my invitation to be on my show, man. I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan. I've been a fan for a long time. Voodoo Moonshine has become one of my top bands that I listen to on a regular basis. And I sincerely just want to thank you again for taking part in this, man. That means a lot to me, brother.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Hey, Jeff, you know what? You've had some exciting things going on with Billboard Music. Would you mind bringing me up to speed and perhaps some listeners that may not know?
Yeah, sure. I think it was in August, I guess. Anyway, we were up for four awards at the International Singer and Songwriters Association. And we ended up walking away with two of the gold awards for Band of the Year and Single of the Year. And, so I thought that was pretty cool, especially since it's here in Georgia where I'm at. We're up for three awards and we'll be appearing October 22nd at the JMA Fest, which is the Josie Awards in Nashville at Grand Ole Opry. And we're up for, I think, Album of the Year, Single of the Year, and Fans Choice. And this new single, it's really not new. It's, I guess, about 8 weeks old now. But the new single, Give It to Me, has peaked out right now. We're at 28 on the Billboard charts. And I think we're even higher than that on the Foundation Forum charts, which is a big, huge jump, because the last single, Bring It Down, we couldn't break, we couldn't crack 200. We got to 201 on the Billboard charts, and this new single, it shot out right at 71 the first week. So we've been gaining some momentum on Billboard.
Also on YouTube, you have videos for these songs. I got to tell you, the whole production on that, doing those videos, the engineering, the sound engineering, the whole process of it, they're kick-ass. And I have to believe with that visual effect of people that could not or have not been able to attend a Voodoo Moonshine show really inspired people and probably opened up that avenue and helped you immensely on your goals that you're trying to achieve.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it appears so. And then, we obviously, I think about it, before we do anything, how visually it's going to be helpful. I'd come up with the idea for this last video for Give It to Me, to do it in that country bar, because, like I said, we've got these awards coming up and in October in Nashville, and I would have never thought in my whole career that I'd ever be on stage at Grand Ole Opry, which is where they're having the awards. So, I kind of had that in my mind when I was envisioning the videos. So, I try to have some kind of method to what we're doing, and just, it's a crapshoot. If the videos, that's the visual representation. Not everyone can be at the shows, so we try to, try to look as good as we can on video,
Right on, man. I get it. You know what, Jeff, let's start this out. I want to ask you a question, man. And the first question I want to ask you is, What was that defining moment, man, in your life that made you want to become a rock and roll artist?
You know, I really don't even think that it ever was a defining moment that made me think that I wanted to be, you know, a rock and roll artist. It's my whole view of music and playing and all that is kind of abnormal, I guess. And of course, you know, when you're 18 and you're, you know, I went out to LA when we had our first deal at 19, you know, you had the dream, you're going to be a rock star and this and that, but it's just, it's not like it was a life. It was just what I was and what I was doing. I just remember liking music, you know, at a young age, and picked up a guitar at 14 and just, that's what I was, you know, that's what I was. I just played, you know. I don't think anything particular happened that made me say, yeah, I want to do that. I mean, of course, it's the glamour, the seeing the videos and the stories of all these bands, you know. I don't know. I try to keep it, you know, where that doesn't consume my life, where that's not my whole identity. You know, I got other things I want to do, you know, just like me and you were talking about the property that we had just bought. I like doing things outside of it. I think that, you know, outside life inspires the music part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, man. You know, I think so many people are just pushing, and they don't take that time to really, perhaps look at the beauty, if you will, you know?
Yeah. And this industry, you know, and I mean, especially now with the release of this album, you know, everything has been just business and nonstop of strategic planning and PR campaigns and PR firms and distribution. I mean, and you know, I think what I've been looking for probably the last, you know, I don't know, 30 years, whatever, 20 years, I've been looking to get that feeling when I was 14 or 15, where I just played and I just wrote and there wasn't any outside influence of why I was doing it. There wasn't, you know, now you write a song, you go, okay, that'd be cool, let's record that. Okay, now we got to promote it, we got to record it good, we got to promote it here, we got to, it becomes a business, you know what I mean? And it's not just the innocence of writing, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And so I think that's what I've been looking for the last 20-30 years, you know, and even with the long breaks in between, to find that joy that you had when you were young, when you were a sponge and you just wanted to consume everything and learn everything and do everything. It's the business, man. It's a business, you know, and I think that's why we're not pushing so hard as far as chasing what's hip and happening and what's hot right now, because we don't care. All we want to do is write what we're writing, what we like and how we feel. And if people like it, well, that's a bonus plan. And it's been working out. We're not pushing anything. It's just planning and letting things fall where they fall. And it's worked a lot better that way. You know,
right.
I'm not getting any gray hairs from it, you know, because I'm not getting upset, depressed or, you know, like a lot of musicians do, because things don't go their way. In this business, it just doesn't, you know. So I appreciate everything that's happened with this CD and these songs so far. It's pretty amazing for me. I mean, this is a 10-year thing for me, writing this album and putting it out, and now the ride from it. So, you know, I think that kind of steered away from your question, but that's the overall thing, man. I when I was 14, picked up a guitar, and apparently it defined itself. I was a guitar player, you know?
Okay. And you know what? Let's go ahead and, or I feel we should, and give Pina Kaplan a big shout out, man, because that lady works her ass off.
Oh.
I am so, it's a pleasure to work with her. I mean, because she's extremely responsive. She does everything, as far as her job, and she's very, very, very good at what she does. So, Pina,
oh, yeah,
if you're listening, that one's for you.
Of course she will be. She listens to everything. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. And we all know, me and all the guys, there's no doubt that, you know, I mean, we could be the greatest thing since sliced bread, but it really doesn't matter if it's not heard, if it's not pushed, and it's not put in the right direction. And, you know, without her dedication and drive, you know, just, I don't think, I know we wouldn't have won all these awards and all this stuff that's going on. You know, she's put a lot of stuff in place, which is pretty amazing, because this is not anything. This is the first band she's ever worked with. She's never done this before, you know, so I'm teaching her as she goes, and, you know, we make a good team. And that's what we've been working on for the last year, is putting, you know, getting a good team around us with our PR and, you know, our distribution and all the things you need to, you know, have a better chance in this business. But everything that's good has happened is because of her drive, you know, so we owe everything to her.
Yeah, she's awesome. She truly is.
Yep.
Jeff, the first song, first of all, we're talking about the album Bottom of the Barrel. The first song I'd like to talk about is one of my favorites. It's called Locked and Loaded. You know, I talked to you a while back, and I told you that I had Locked and Loaded as my ringtone on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. And that's cool as hell.
Still do. Can you go ahead and give the listeners some history about that tune, man?
That's an old ass song. I mean, you know, like, I think I told you the last time we spoke that it was a fluke that it's even on this album. And that's why it's called Locked and Loaded Redo, because it's on our first album. And what had happened was, you know, after I found Pedro and he joined the band, and I got him all the songs, and he re-recorded the vocals and everything. We were short because they're, you know, of the 10 songs that we wanted for the album, because there was a couple of this original version of this album that I had done that he didn't like, so we cut those songs out. So we were one song short. Well, the original album, the external drives that I had with all the files, my house got robbed in Memphis, and they took my external drive, and our original singer was in Minnesota, and about 4 months later, his house got robbed, and they stole the external drive out of his house. So we didn't have the files anymore. I can't remix the album. I couldn't do anything with it. They're gone. But I have a big, like, gun safe type locker full of CDs of recordings of mine and tapes and everything. And I had found a CD with the song Locked and Loaded, and it said files. So it was the actual audio files. I had sent them to Pedro when we first started talking and completely forgot about it. And, you know, so we're wrapping up this album, 9 songs in, and, you know, I'm trying to figure out, well, we got to write another song or something. He messaged me, said, "Yeah, the words to Locked and Loaded," and I sent them to him. And a couple of days later, he sent the track back with his vocals on it. He said, "There's number 10, I'm done now." And so it was a fluke that the song was not even supposed to be on the album, and it ended up being our first video for this album. Well, second video, actually, but first full band video. So it's a whole fluke thing. It wasn't even planned or expected. It was last minute.
Right on. So let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Locked and Loaded with Voodoo Moonshine. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast. welcome back. Great, great song. All these songs are great, man, that we're going to play here today. You know, I can't say enough about them. Well, especially when we get into the next one, is really, truly one of my, I'll just wait till we get to it anyway. All right. You know what, Jeff, in your opinion, you know, I think you kind of touched on it just a little bit when you said, you know, you guys do your own thing, you know, but in your opinion, what defines a successful record?
That's a hard question to answer, because I mean, success is always, you know, you say success, you think money. Now, I've been doing this long enough, and I've invested so much in this business financially and just emotionally. Success to me, you know, I mean, it'd be great. Start getting some big checks, going on world tours, living, sitting in hot tubs, and, you know, all the crap they sell you when you're a young kid, you know. To me personally, the success is that I completed this album. And that's the way I look at everything I do now, because I'm older. I'm 52. And I'm lucky, we're lucky that we're still doing it and not doing it in a bar playing covers or being in a tribute band. And I refuse to do that. So the success for me is this CD was a 10-year deal. I shelved it. I completed it in 2011 with a different singer. And I was done. So everything I do now, I look at it as this could be the last time I do anything. So I'm going to do the best I can, and it's going to be exactly the way I want it. With this CD, going through the stages of finishing it, you know, in 2011, shelving it, forgetting about it, thinking I'm done, and then just strange stuff happening to where it came back to life, where I had to start this up again, found Pedro, found all my guys, and this is the strongest version of the band there's ever been, finishing the album, completing it with Pedro and redoing it completely, and all the success, the awards, the billboards, the things that are happening, that's success to me. Because a lot of guys I know that are better than me have never had even anything like that. And it's sad for them, you know, that they tried so hard and couldn't get it out the gate.
Right.
We're by no means anyone super important, but I'm happy with what's happened, you know. And if it came to an end tomorrow, then I'm comfortable knowing that what we put out was something that everyone liked and was played and people dug it, you know. And that's just it for me. But everyone's definition of success is totally different, you know. Like I said, I'm an oddball when it comes to music and being a musician. I don't, and being a guitar player, you know. I'm asked all the time in interviews, who inspires you? Who's your idol? You know, and I'm like, songs, not guitar players,
right.
You know, necessarily. It's right. Just songs. So I'm a little different, I think.
As a career musician, what is one piece of advice that you had received from another musician, perhaps, that changed your thinking forever?
I've never gotten any advice from a musician that I would actually completely believe. The sad thing is I mean, God. everyone's in it for themselves. And I'm not saying there's not camaraderie, but I mean, as far as business advice or direction, I you got to learn on your own. I'm not listening to anybody else, because you got to go through it yourself. You know, everyone's situation's different. I know some guys that were big in the 80s, and it was just taken away when Nirvana hit. So they may be a little jaded. They may not be. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I can't go by what they tell me, because I haven't experienced it. And if I did believe them or listen to them or take it to heart, then I might have a shitty attitude about the whole situation. So I'm learning on my own to have my own shitty opinion about the business.
Okay, let me reiterate that a little bit, and I'll put it to you this way. What's a piece of advice you had given yourself 10 years ago?
Read as much as I can about music law and learn about the industry itself. And you're constantly learning, especially when the landscape of the business changes from the way it was in the late 80s, early 90s, up until the internet. The good thing about the internet is we can upload a song tonight and someone in Portugal will hear it tomorrow. The bad thing is the internet is so saturated and the industry wants to look at your Spotify numbers. Well, Spotify can kiss my ass because they only pay you 0.16 of a penny every time they play us and generate all this revenue for themselves. So there's the good side and the bad side of it. You know, everyone else is getting paid while the musician, the creator of it all is, you know, getting the crumbs. So learn as much as I can by educating myself about the industry. You know, the reading the laws and publishing and distribution and just everything. And it's constantly changing because there's new ways that people come up with to make money off of us. I mean, I don't want to sound jaded. I'm just saying the industry, it's a hard business. It's like Hollywood. It's like acting. You know what I mean? It's a rough business. So all you can do and all I could do for myself and us as a band is try to be as smart as I can be business-wise, you know?
You know, I think this is just my personal opinion. As a page owner and a group owner on Facebook, but I think Facebook is probably one of the worst platforms that can be used for music. They have ways with their algorithms and everything is, you know, boost this and boost that. And do this and do that. And it's a money pit. And
oh, yes.
And it's wrong. It's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is. And, you know, and it is wrong. And if you don't do it, your numbers don't increase because really organically to do it, you have to blow up huge to just have 50 million followers. I mean, unless you're a chick that's naked and fall or you're falling down the steps and it's not going to go viral. Music doesn't happen like that anymore, you know? And it's so you have to pay for advertising, you know, and it's a money market. It's a money. And what's sad is that they're hitting the people that have no money, freaking musicians, you know? So you had to put as much as you can in. It's a business. It's no different. And I've said this for 20 years with my last version of this band and everybody. It's no different than owning a convenience store or a gas station or anything. You got to put money into it to keep your inventory. To make money, you got to put money into it, you know?
Right.
It'd be nice one day to not have to put so much money into your overall promotional plan, but you have to. I mean, it's just the way it is.
All right. Jeff, the next track I'd like to talk about is called Eden in Your Eyes. Can you give the listeners some history on that song?
Yeah, once again, that was a fluke song that wasn't planned on being on the album. I had gone back to Oklahoma when my grandmother had gotten ill and passed away in 2009. I hadn't been home in 12 years. And so when I went home, she passed away. I don't know, a girlfriend, our original bass player, three or four other people died within a few month period. So I was, you know, playing a lot of funerals, you know, playing songs for these people that I cared about. And so I recorded these songs and a manager I had at the time, you know, got it over to some, you know, small independent label and they wanted to put it out. And I said, well, you know, if all the proceeds go to the Cancer Society, then I'll do it, you know. So I did this solo acoustic instrumental. Just these were funeral songs, you know. And one of them was Eden in Your Eyes. It was actually, I had done a video for it back then. Probably find a clip of it on YouTube somewhere. But it was just an instrumental. And I started working. So writing those songs got me back into the writing process. You know, this is after the first Food and Moonshine album. Of course, you know, I took a couple of years off from the album. And, you know, those guys moved on because, you know, no one's going to sit around for a couple of years. And so I got new guys. And I had a singer from England. He was in a band called Voodoo Six with Judas Priest's new guitarist, Richie Faulkner. He was in a band with him in Voodoo Six. So I had this singer and he's like, man, that's such a, amazing, beautiful song. He's like, you need to write some lyrics for it. So I wrote lyrics for it, and we recorded it. Pedro re-recorded it when we did this album, and it was actually the first video that Pedro and I did alone for this album. You know, we were kind of testing the waters, you know, to see how people would react to the new Voodoo Moonshine, and people seemed to dig it. So once again, that was another fluke song that wasn't really supposed to be on the album.
Well, it's a great song. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Eden in Your Eyes with Voodoo Moonshine. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast. For me, I guess we could call that could we call it a ballad?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Okay, all right. And it's probably one of the most beautiful ballads and I say that sincerely, that I have heard. I mean, Pedro does an amazing, amazing job on the vocals. An amazing song. That's what I got. Epic.
You know what's funny is that that song, you know, so I'm a horrible guitar player, apparently. I don't play with a click track. I suck at it so bad. My timing and meter is so bad because I play by feel. You know, I had this mentality, well, Hendrix didn't play with a click track, neither did Page, you know what I'm saying? So I always use that as an excuse. And then our drummer gets in there and goes, I can't record to this because it's all over the place. So we didn't write any drums or bass to it. It's just acoustic and vocal. But to me, see, I'm heavily influenced with the singer-songwriter era, the Jim Croce and people like that. Because if you can just take a guitar and a vocal and pull it off, you're good. It ain't nothing to be blasting through 50,000 watts. You can cover up your mistakes through all that white noise. But if it's just an acoustic guitar and vocals, you're going to hear the mistakes. So you have to pull it off. I think that's, you know, we have an orchestrated version of that. And then the video version of it, that's on the CD. And could never put drums or bass to it because of the way I play. But it's weird how Pedro could feel the timing that I was playing, you know, so it's strange moments like that happen, you know.
Right. You know, Jeff, as a musician, you know, throughout the years, once again, that you have done this, you've had highs and lows throughout, you know, your career. But has there ever been a moment or a point in your life where you perhaps had lost the interest in playing? And if so, what did you do to rekindle your passion for it?
I lose the interest for it all the time, to be honest with you. I don't, it's nothing for me. And this is why there's 10-year gap in between, you know, the, when I thought I was done with this CD to when I, you know, found Pedro. It didn't bother me in the least to not be playing. And I think that the reason why is because I've always had to deal with the business end of it, and not just the whole, I'm going to get up on stage, get drunk, party, and have fun with it. You know what I mean? It's been a business and a draining one at that. You know, I've overseen every aspect of it. So the rest of the guys, you know, it's kind of like having kids. You kind of protect them from the bills. You know what I mean? So to get away from it, it didn't ever bother me. I mean, I'd always pick up my guitar and play. I would miss getting on stage because after all the long hours of trying to do everything right business-wise, to get on stage for an hour, that makes you, you know, you forget about the rest of the time, and you just enjoy that moment. But I think me personally, as a guitar player, I just wouldn't touch a guitar for 6 months. And I think I would let my moods and the world and, you know, different shit that happened in my life inspire me. I'd either get pissed off, so I'd write an aggressive song, or I'd, you know, have some hard times and write ballads, you know. So I let life inspire me. And I think I've never been a guitar player to sit there and practice scales and you know what I mean. I'd always tried to write, so I let my environment kind of inspire what I'm thinking. And I over the course of me playing all this time, there's constantly where I'm feeling like I'm writing the same shit over and over. I'm in this rut. So I'll walk away from it until something hits me, and then I'll go in and change it. You know, I'll change that rut. Well, so like I said, once again, I'm an odd musician. It doesn't define me as much as this is what I'm doing now. It's not all that I am. I just, you know, I don't know. I've seen a lot, and, you know, you've seen it too, where these sad cases of these great musicians. Janie Lane pops in my mind, one of the greatest songwriters, unbelievable showman, ends up dying in a hotel room, you know, and because they lose everything, because that's who they are. It defines them, you know, that's all they can do and what they know, and it hurts them, it destroys them.
Right.
And I just refuse to let that happen. I'm going to, you know, use my outlet, but this isn't life or death for me, you know?
Right.
I'm going to give it my all, and then when I'm done, I'm done.
Right.
You know, and I hope everyone loved it while I was doing it.
Right.
And that's the way we all look at it. So we're going to do the best we can with it, give the best music we can, and play the best shows we can. And, you know, when we're ready to hang it up, we will. And if we don't, then we're just going to do it on our own terms. Yeah, it's a sad story. And I just, you know, there's been so many of those. And, you know, even, well, you know, you either end up in a hotel broke with, you know, at a Super 8 motel with nothing except your, you know, I used to be a rock star. Or you got some like Taylor Hawkins that was on top of the world and still died from just excess and living the life, you know. It's just sad. And I don't want any of us to be just, this is what we do. This is us, you know.
Right.
I don't ever get real personal in interviews or anything because no one knows about my life. That's my life.
Right.
What I do out there, that's what my job, you know, and that's to entertain. But I don't, you know, there's more things that I'm interested in than just banking my whole life on it, because it's an unstable situation. And I'm not being negative about it. I'm being realistic. And that's just the facts. I've been doing it since, you know, I started playing it when I was 14, you know, so it's been a long time. We all have to be realistic about things, you know,
right.
Especially an industry that is aimed towards young folks. So everything that's going on now with us is just amazing.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. How do you balance your music with personal obligations, you know, such as a mate, child, you know, perhaps another job? How do you keep that all in check?
Well, I don't have children. I've never had any children. See, and that's something I sacrificed, I think, by giving, you know, being a musician for so long. It's something I heard for a long time when I was younger, you know, from dad saying, well, you're the last LaSawyer. You got to have a kid. You got to have a kid. And that's what they tell you to do. You know, you get married, you have a kid, you get old. Never had children, and I wish I had. But if I had, I probably wouldn't be here talking to you now, and I wouldn't have done anything musically,
right?
Because I wouldn't sacrifice my family for this dream.
Sure.
That, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Now, luckily, you know, I trying to be smart business wise, you know, we've been okay to where, you know, I had been off for quite a while to take care of all the band stuff. I started working again a few months ago. And luckily, everybody at the company is real supportive of it. I mean, they love it. They're watching the videos. It went viral in our, you know, at work. So everybody
cool.
loves it. So all the bosses and all that, you know, they're, I just tell them, man, I got to go, you know, I got to go play.
Right,
we got
on.
A video shoot. We got this to do. We got to do that. And they're like, okay, we'll cool. see you when you get back. Yeah, so it's been really cool for that. The thing is, you know, I'm here in Georgia. The guys are in Florida. This isn't, we're not, and we never will. We're not playing a bar every weekend. That's not beneficial to us. We got bigger plans. And to play the same market in the same town every weekend, guess what? People are going to go, well, we'll catch them next weekend because they'll be there again. And they'll just quit coming, you know. So we're a national band. We got a state we play. We come, you know, we're setting up, you know, with our booking agents for some bigger shows. And we'll do that. I would rather play in a empty closet to something that's not beneficial for the band. And it's not beneficial to play every hole in the wall just, you know, to do it. So we're a working band constantly. We're, like I said, you know, like I told you before the interview, you know, we got one more video that's coming out for this album in probably a couple of weeks. We've got shows scheduled out, I think, up until March. But we're already writing, you know, I think we're 6 songs to get ready to go in the studio. That doesn't interfere a whole lot with our daily lives, you know? At least it doesn't now. Who's to say it won't get better and it just completely screw up our daily lives? It would be great, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But none of us are so stupid to just say, okay, yeah, great, cool, we got a week-long tour. Let's just quit our jobs and hop on a bus, you know?
Right.
At our age, everyone's got mortgages and kids, those things you were just talking about. So you have to think logically about it. So we keep our lives good and solid, because the business we're in now is not, you know, it's not a solid one. You know, you never know what's going to happen. And luckily it's been the good side so far.
Right. Exactly.
Amazingly, you know, talking to Pedro the other day, he couldn't believe that we're up to 28 on the Billboard charts. I would have never thought it. We're unsigned, you know, we're an independent band. So obviously that tells me that, you know, our team that we have with us and Pina and, you know, the things that I try to oversee is kind of working, you know, so we're going to keep it this way.
All right. Next track I'd like to talk about is called Give It To Me. Can you give us some history on that one?
Well, that is the new single. That is the song that has surprised us all at first week release on radio. Shot up to 71 on Billboard charts. It's up to 28 right now. We're above some of the bands, the huge bands, you know, it amazes me to look at the names where our name is right there with, you know, Saliva and Fozzy and, you know, all these huge bands, you know, Hellstorm. I think Hellstorm's like one above us. So it's pretty amazing. And what's funny is, once again, I keep using that word fluke because everything I sit here and talk about how we try to plan things. Well, everything we've planned has kind of gotten sideways for one thing or another, one reason or another. Well, What A Way to Go was supposed to be this single. Well, we got it to our radio guy, and they're like, man, this song's 6 minutes long, 5 minutes long. Radio, you don't want to put it on there. They don't want to play it. Will you cut it up and, you know, shorten it? I'm like, absolutely not. I'm like, you want a 3-minute and 30-second song? Well, do Give It To Me. I'm not going to chop my songs up. I'm not sacrificing, because at the end of the day, the only thing we have left are our songs and what we create. So I just refused to do it. And so we did Give It To Me. You know, it was that quick for me to say, oh, you don't want to play our song? Okay, well, here's your 3-minute and 30 song that's, you know, supposed to be the norm for the radio industry. Here it is. Now we'll go shoot a video. And next thing you know, we did the video and we're number 28 on Billboard. I mean, nothing. It was not planned at all.
You know what, man? And it's a great video. It's a great tune. And here it is. Give It To Me with Voodoo Moonshine. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast.
If you knew what I was saying about you, you'd be
Welcome back. And just, you know, epic shit, man. I mean, I hate to, not shit. I shouldn't say that. Really, man. It amazes me, you know, before the videos, in my opinion, it just brought Voodoo Moonshine. Now we have a visual of what's going down. You know what I mean? And
yep.
The stage presence, attitude, is a rise above the rest.
It really is, and I'm
not saying that as an ass kisser or you're on the phone. I'm saying it because I sincerely mean it. I'm not one of those guys that's gonna, you know, sit here and, you know, praise you and go, fuck, why did I say that? You know what I mean? I say it from the heart. I really do, man. I really do.
Well, I appreciate that. That, you know, that's another thing. Like I said, man, you've got to, we're trying to create a good team around us. And, you know, Josh at Jacqueline High Production, he's done all our videos. I mean, I brought him out to Florida. We couldn't even find a video production company in Florida that I wanted to work with down there that wasn't ridiculous in pricing and just overall. So I had him and his crew come down to Florida. And, you know, so that's our fourth video we've done with him. What a Way to Go is he did also, which will be the next video release. But I worked so well with that guy. You know, he came down, we filmed for 2 days, I think, 1 or 2 days. And then he came back home up here because he's in Georgia where I'm at. He came back up here. I eventually made it back home. We got together one day at his studio. Me and him edited for like 8 or 9 hours, which is about the average time for these videos where we've edited them. And they've come out looking great. It's good teamwork. You know, I appreciate him making us look cool on video, you know.
The song, What a Way to Go, and you gave us a little bit of history. But is there anything you want to add to that, man? Because that's the next track I'd like to play.
Well, you know, so once again, I started the whole album when I was back home in Oklahoma when my grandmother had gotten ill. And, you know, my girlfriend at the time passed away. I lost a lot of people within a few months period. And it was so odd. And I'm not exaggerating it. I'm not coming up with some deep, cool story. But so I'm in Oklahoma and I'm on 10 acres. You know, I was helping my first wife's grandmother take care of this property while I was there. You know, it's just three generations of women out there trying to take care of 10 acres. So I was staying there. She passed away from cancer. And this is after she passed away. And, you know, Oklahoma's Tornado Alley, you know, just storms are going everywhere. And I'm sitting out on the porch of this, you know, house, and I'm seeing, you know, activity. And I'm thinking about how all these people I lost, how they lived their lives and, you know, what a way to go, you know, through the good times, bad times, and how they were as a person. And I'm thinking about how I'm dealing with losing them too, and how I want to live my life. At that point, you know, being depressed and sad and upset, you know, I'm thinking, well, just come pick me up off the damn porch. It doesn't matter. I'm sitting here, you know, writing this song on this porch. And that's just what kept going through my head was What a Way to Go.
And it's an amazing song. So let's go ahead and let the listeners hear What a Way to Go with Voodoo Moonshine. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast.
Grieve the light on your own.
right, again, we are back with Jeff LaSawyer of Voodoo Moonshine. And Jeff, we are going to go ahead and get ready to close the show out. Give one more question. What type of legacy or how do you want to be remembered by your friends, family, and fans when you pass on?
Oh, wow. Well, musically as a songwriter and driven to try to do right by, you know, everyone that's involved with me musically, you know, I try to, you know, I think, like I said, you know, I don't have kids. So the guys in my band are my children. I try to protect them. I'm trying to do the best by them and make sure we do the best business deal I can do for us. You know, so I hope after I'm long gone, they'll go, he was crazy, but at least he tried,
right.
You know, family, you know, I haven't been around family in so long. Hopefully they'll just remember that too, that, you know, I did things the way I wanted to and dealt with the bad times and the stuff that didn't turn out my way and just kept on rolling, you know? So
that's a great,
apparently
answer.
Sometimes I get on missions, you know.
Yeah, I do. We're going to go ahead and close it out. Once again, I want to sincerely thank you, man, for taking your time to give me a call to do this interview. I want to say to you, man, if I may, that I have a prayer. God just continues to bless you guys, you, whatever you do, that he just continues to work mightily in all your lives, man, and that Voodoo Moonshine is a band to be reckoned with, and I am proud to have this opportunity. Thank you so much, man.
Well, I appreciate you having me, buddy. I appreciate it. And, you know, I have the same prayer for your health and all the good things in life coming your way too, man.
Jeff, thank you so much. All right, my friends, there's an interview with Jeff LaSawyer, guitarist of Voodoo Moonshine. I am Jim Adani, your host. This is Power Rock Podcast. We are going to play one more tune. This one here is called Bring It Down. Peace.
Just me.